see what's possible.
This is David Chupp. Come see me or my son Trevor at Linex of Anderson today.
The Mickey Plyler Show on 105.5 The Roar.
Oh, okay, tell us how you really feel.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
Well, they blew up a chicken man in Philly last night. Now they blew up his house too. Down on the boardwalk, they're getting ready for a fight. Gonna see what them racket boys can do.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. SCDMV wants you to know that you go to scdmvonline.com. Get this Gold Star stuff. You got to have that real ID on your license between now and October 2020. So get in touch with our friends at the South Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles. They can take care of it for you. If you have any questions, first go to scdmvonline.com, and then they can answer any frequently asked questions on there. If you need any other help, assistance, they can tell you what you need, how you need it, where you need it. Check out your nearest branch. This is easy to do. If you want to have domestic flights in 2020, in October 2020, you got to have the real ID. To find out more about it, it's scdmvonline.com. Paul Strelo joins us, tigerillustrated.com, in a very, very busy time of year. Good morning, Paul Strelo. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing fantastic. Hope you are as well.
Great, great. Glad to hear it. It feels weird. We're in year two of the early signing period that begins 2 weeks from yesterday, a week from this coming Wednesday. And, Paul, one of my main things I talked about the other day, I want to get your take on it. The kids that don't sign, we saw it last year. Will we see a higher or lower percentage of kids that sign early in the early period this year? And then B, will we still see that inflated because the pool gets smaller to the kids that don't sign, that inflated thing? Remember last year had several players that had no business getting big time offers, but got them anyway. Will we see the number increase? And also, will we see that inflated value go up as a result of the early signing period?
Yeah, I don't know that we'll see a big change from the bar or standard that was set last year in terms of percentages. You know, a lot higher percentage, I think, than certainly college has even thought, signed early last year and really left such a small market for January. And then that, therefore, drove up the value on the number of the players who did wait till the end. And, that, you know, I tend to believe, if anything, people are going to more would sign early this year as much to try and make sure they secure their spot as opposed to taking the risk and kind of seeing if their market will take off in January. People more inclined to sign with an FCS school than wait and see if they're left out in the cold and end up with a better spot as opposed to a worse spot. So I think risk management around a lot of kids will lead them to sign earlier instead of signing later. And I think we're seeing that as well a lot with the way the coaches are treating this month, and it's kind of the truncated period of, I mean, there really is a push right now to make sure you've got different guys locked in, especially with coaching changes and whatnot. So, yeah, I think if anything, more people sign early than more people thinking, hey, let me take advantage of the January market that's out there.
You sit in basketball all the time. You talk about that quite frequently. Give us an idea of what coaches are doing this week, having to prioritize the 2019 class. A lot of guys are going out and seeing 2020 guys this week. You've got bowl preparations for some classes that are out there, exams at some places, and then all these award shows and award banquets. There's a lot of juggling going on this week, right?
Yeah, certainly. With Clemson's schedule, I mean, they start preparations for the playoffs next week. Early to mid next week. So really it's this week and the start of next week are really the heavy push to get to see guys. And so you've got Dabo Swinney traveling around the country, conducting in-homes this week and next week with really the handful of guys who are still on the board this cycle, as well as with the 13 or so early enrollees who are coming mid-year. Trying to make sure and get in to see all those guys, whether it's, a brunch or lunch, or trying to schedule those, different folks through the day. But, Dabo Swinney yesterday was supposed to be in Alabama and in Connecticut and in Michigan. So really kind of bouncing around. And, you know, the whole logistics to me are as much interesting, all the scheduling that goes into for not only the head coach, but as the assistant coaches, and you're trying to manipulate who's where and getting to see everybody within the course of a week, really. So all that and how it comes together and the travel involved just to be able to do it, to me, is one of the most, you know, fascinating and compelling pieces to the puzzle.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the board, if we can, and it all begins with the offensive line. There's been some news and notes about the offensive line. I know everybody's in panic mode about the offensive line, but catch us up on the targets, not on the board anymore, targets still on the board, and where things stand with the 2019 offensive line class.
Sure, as we reported earlier this week, Dabo Swinney did not go on his in-home visit yesterday with Oxford, Alabama five-star interior lineman Clay Webb. You know, Webb had his in-home visits with Kirby Smart and Nick Saban on Monday, and really our indications pointed to, Clemson no longer being in the picture. You know, personally, I believe that Georgia is where he's going to end up going. You know, otherwise the legitimate, what can easily be reported or said is it's a Georgia-Alabama battle if you rationalize or basically deduce, that Clemson was not going in for that visit. So I don't believe that Webb will be going to Clemson. You know, personally, I believe he's going to Georgia, but it's a Georgia-Alabama battle here really going down the stretch before he decides on Monday. Webb is one of the two main guys we were looking at coming down here to the final weeks. Will Putnam, four-star offensive lineman from Tampa Plant. Dabo Swinney goes on his in-home visit on Friday. Gus Malzahn goes in today. Willie Taggart from Florida State, that's the third school in the mix. His date has not been determined yet. Part of that, will he get the last one? Perhaps, but I think the fact that Florida State does not have an offensive coordinator and all the kind of what all is going on at FSU kind of dictated him backing off on that one a little bit. And having to kind of reassess when he goes in. So I really think Clemson has gone in their direction this last month. You know, the visit that he took, the official visit for the Duke game, really resonated. The stability Clemson has, just the fit there, and particularly when you contrast that with what's going on at Auburn and the dysfunction there on Gus Malzahn keeping his job, and then clearly kind of the turnover and instability that's permeated at Florida State and the season that they've had. I think those two schools have opened the door, and I think Clemson's kind of rushed through it. So we'll see his decision. He will sign on the 20th. He might announce before then. We don't really know, but it's clear that this is the week that he's really pulling everything together, or else the head coaches wouldn't be coming in at the time they are. I expect him to make a decision sooner than later, and I think Clemson's in pretty good shape right now.
The Tigers would like to take two more offensive linemen if Putnam is one. There would be one more out there. Will you see uncommitted guys, or will you see committed guys that are still going after? Will you see this thing go into January?
It's possible. Clemson has looked at Ja'Kai Moore from Virginia, someone who's really not shown up for two of the visits that he has talked about taking already this fall. But in Clemson visiting him earlier this week, the plan is for him to come on an official visit the 15th, the final Saturday and Sunday there, the contact period before the early signing period opens. But he's been on multiple trips to South Carolina, multiple trips to Penn State. Travel hasn't been a problem going to either of those two schools. And so I think there's reason to be leery that that Clemson can come in at the very last minute and make enough of an impression, establish enough relationships there to sling him. But that is one that they are currently trying to court, and seeing. He's someone who will not enroll until next summer, but is looking at signing this early period. So we'll see if that materializes. Otherwise, I don't think Clemson is going to rush into just throwing out a scholarship and trying to get somebody. I mean, there have been a half dozen, if you know, more guys that they've been in contact with or tried to establish contact with. And I think there will be a certain standard that, that Clemson is looking for. If someone like that were interested early, they might bring in. But that's, that isn't, doesn't tend to be how Clemson's recruiting tends to work. So I think more than likely it would carry into January. And if somebody isn't there that they truly like, or you know, maybe one of the guys they were looking at, gray shirting would be the guy, or you just, they'd kind of survey the market, or really even just pocket it for the next class. And so, you know, I think there are a number of different ways it could go, and we just don't know yet what it will be, because we, they kind of need to see what the interest level is, and are they able to attract anyone else, or does any other door open here in the next week or two?
I know the Ohio State thing happened this week. I know you answered it on your website several times, but Ray or Harry Miller, maybe. I know some Clemson fans. I don't, you don't expect either of those things to happen for Clemson.
I don't. You know, I think Clemson kicked the tires with Harry Miller, the four-star interior lineman out of Buford, Georgia. You know, back even when the Urban Meyer stuff first broke. And I don't think that, that Clemson really gained any traction there. And I think that, that that one, I just don't see that one happening particularly this late. And the Miller family has been pretty quiet on his direction right now, but I don't, I just don't think that one, based on the, how the circumstances have unfolded through his recruitment, I don't think that's one that comes together. Jake Ray is a 2020, and I think more, you know, even more so than Miller, I don't see Clemson really getting involved there based on how Clemson's recruitment went for his older brother, Max, there. So, yeah, I don't foresee that one happening. If there was any connection at all, it would be Doug Nestor, the offensive lineman that's committed this class from West Virginia, that the door's been open for Nestor for a little while. He's taken visits to, you know, I think Florida, what, you know, or maybe West Virginia's involved. He's been one or two different places and could get more. He's recently said he's going to, he's one who's going to carry his decision into January. And I think the market's going to be pretty high for him that month to see who, you know, he remains a, an Ohio State commitment, but I think that one is going to be a competition. I'm interested to see who the names are that surface there.
Finally, on offensive lineman, I saw Darnell Wright. Is he not going to be an early signee? Because I saw he released a top 10 list yesterday. I was like, wait a minute, you're in, you're a few days away from signing day, and it's nice of you to come out with a top 10.
Yeah. Well, Wright is one who hasn't totally advanced his recruitment terribly much, as well as I think he, you know, he's got the stature to a five-star ranked top 10 by Rivals, top offensive tackle. Yeah, he's got the stature and the clout to be able to carry it as long as he wants to. And I think they want to carry it long. But his high school coach is a big Tennessee guy, and so Tennessee's going to get an official visit at the end. Alabama resonates there. He's been there multiple times. Those are really the two that everyone believes it's going to come down to. But he wants to take all the official visits. UGA will get him next weekend. You know, Clemson has continued to work there. But that's just not one that, you know, honestly, I feel like that's not one that Clemson ever goes in and wins. So I don't think this is one that Clemson is going to really gain any traction with. But he's someone who's going to carry it to the end, and it's going to be Tennessee or Bama probably.
All right, the rest of the board, no really time frame for Tyler Davis. Is he going to sign early? Any idea about what his time frame looks like?
I do expect Tyler Davis to sign it early, or let me rephrase that. I expect his decision to be done before mid-year's enroll in January. Now, he plays in the January 3rd Under Armour game in Orlando, and so it's feasible he does, just as Kahoris Crouch has talked about doing, and just announcing at his All-Star game, you know, with paperwork having quietly been filled out and processed at whatever school he's going to. So an announcement is different than will he sign, and you don't really have to sign. You can just fill out that paperwork and show up and it not be announced and what thing, whatnot. So we don't know if he's going to do sign and have anything public by December 19th or 20th. But he will have a decision in the fold, really before the January period where students start showing up.
And you still feel better about Clemson's chances than Florida State's?
I still feel significantly better about Clemson's chances. And I think Florida State has shown that it's sort of waved the white flag there, even though they'll still pay him a visit. But I don't think this is one that Clemson is particularly worried about.
Finally, Crouch, same thing. You mentioned that one. And this is still, I think some people may misconception here. Michigan's still in this thing. Clemson may be in better shape, but Michigan's still in this, right?
I believe so. I think it's kind of phrased that the Crouch won't be done until it's done. Tyler Davis is done, even though it's not formally done or been publicly announced. I don't think Crouch is one that anyone trusts until it's out there. Michigan, I think the fact that Jim Harbaugh he used his in-home visit along with his brother last Monday, they've already kind of fired that final bullet, even though they can still have assistant coach show up next week, things of that nature. I think Clemson still has the Dabo Swinney in-home visit and, the same factors in proximity and playing in the playoffs, competing for championships, the things that he's talked about being important to him. I still think Clemson owns all those advantages. The only thing is, I do think Crouch enjoyed his time in Michigan, and will he want to go do his own thing? So I don't think the odds are high that he goes to Michigan, but I think Michigan is legitimately still in the conversation.
I see a little Akeem Dent and Clemson, a little bit of smoke there. Does that simply come down to Trayvon Mullen if he decides to go pro early and Dent's not going to sign early? That would be a January thing. Is it as simple as Clemson's pursuit depends on Trayvon Mullen's or other scholarships?
I think that's part of the variable. And I think the other part is, as well as with the scholarship thing, and I think they also truly want to get a sense on, is Dent really interested, or is he taking visits just to play around? I think if you were to you get two different. There's conflicting information there with Dent on is he truly kind of committed to Florida State and just kind of dragging this thing out and wanting to take official visits and create some publicity and drama, or there's another faction that believes he's not going to Florida State. Bama is the likely choice, but the schools that are the established national teams, Alabama, Clemson, maybe even Ohio State, those are the ones that kind of interest him. So I think that one could be someone to track next month. And I do expect that there'll be NFL draft attrition with Clemson, but at the same time, I don't know that, that's not one that I think Clemson right now is all that well positioned with. But if you go back, Mackenzie Alexander, Trayvon Mullen, two South Florida guys that no one really gave Clemson a huge chance for, but they end up getting those guys and somewhat surprises, to the national recruiting scene, even though they've been involved with both those two for much longer than they've really been involved with Dent.
Notice since he's not signing early, I didn't ask you in Jerry on Ely stuff. We have all January to talk about that. Hey, Paul, when we visit next week, let's talk about, let's preview signing day, which will be inside of a week for that one. Besides that, just a ton of things going on. Tell us about TigerIllustrated.com, the very best to find the information.
Yeah, recruiting is fluid, and as you've seen with Clay Webb stuff and Ja'Kai Moore and everything, it changes daily, and there's a lot of different developments going on with coaches on the road and everything that those things say. So we've got a lot of updates here this week and next week on just kind of the daily movements with the staff and recruiting developments. So all that to track here over the next 2 weeks and a lot going on our site.
Place to find it is TigerIllustrated.com. Paul, I always appreciate it, man. Looking forward to previewing signing day next week.
Hey, appreciate it, Mickey.
All right. It's a great friend there, the best in the business. A short break. We'll come back. Hey, love to hear from you. We'll open up phone lines for the first time, really, the entire show. Love to hear from you after a short break after this.
M&L Mobile Home Supplies is the largest retail mobile home parts store in the upstate. They're your source for heat pumps, heating and air replacement parts, doors, tubs, showers, vinyl windows, skirting, decks, water heaters, everything you need. And they'll install vapor barriers, insulated floors, ductwork, and heat pumps. For 32 years, the staff at M&L Mobile Home Supplies has served the upstate's mobile home needs. M&L Mobile Home Supplies, 1128 Bypass in Anderson, or online at mnlsupply.com.
You know cars and trucks cost less than Travelers Rest at George Coleman Ford. Did you also know George Coleman Ford is always looking to buy quality pre-owned vehicles from you? Even if you don't buy from them, they can make the process smooth and easy in buying your pre-owned car, truck, or SUV. It's the way George Coleman Ford has been doing business in Travelers Rest for over 86 years and four generations. Whether buying from them or selling to them, trust in George Coleman Ford.
Holiday season is approaching, and Black Smokehouse and Seneca is here to hook you up with the best smoked meats, sides, desserts, and beverages for your holiday party, family gathering, work event, or celebration. Take the stress out of planning and call Black Smokehouse. Let them host your party with seating for up to 60 people. Host in-house or get a catering package to go. Call 784-4599 to book your party. Again, that's 784-4599 and online at blacksmokehouse.com. Go Tigers!
Buying a mattress can be a difficult process, but that can all change with one visit to Engineered Sleep. They are a mattress manufacturer that opened their doors to the public. You get factory direct pricing, a mattress made just for you, and free delivery all over the upstate. Your mattress will be made and delivered within 1 to 5 days. It is always great to buy local, but when you buy from Engineered Sleep, you are truly buying from the best. Their showroom at 627 Congaree Road in Greenville is open Monday through Saturday. Sleep like a champion with your Engineered Sleep.
Vehicle repairs can be a painful experience, from shops that overcharge to mechanics who don't know what they're doing. My Garage by Essex, with over 100 years of combined experience, is that vehicle repair shop you've always wanted. Specializing in computer diagnostics and engine repairs, with a strong focus on preventative and scheduled maintenance, suspensions, brakes, heating and cooling. Call or stop by My Garage by Essex on Highway 93 in Clemson, 633-5800.
Do you have a love-hate relationship with your credit card? You love the freedom and convenience the credit card gives you, but you hate the high interest rates? And let's face it, they're high. 17, 18, even 20% APR? That's pretty outrageous. But with Lightstream's credit card consolidation loan, rather than throwing your money away on high interest payments, you can get a much lower rate, as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. And today, if you want an even lower rate, apply at lightstream.com/radio for a special discount. Plus, with Lightstream, your rate is fixed. So as rates continue to rise, your rates won't budge. They'll stay low. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, which means you can pay off your credit card and start paying an interest rate you can really love, thanks to Lightstream.
Ready to start saving? Apply now at lightstream.com/radio. That's right. Get your extra discount by applying today at lightstream.com/radio. That's lightstream.com/radio.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/radio for more information.
Are you ready to go all in on a car? Granger Nissan knows what car will fit you and your family because they are a leader in the market with competitive inventory. They have everything for everyone. Granger Nissan is a family business, so they know the importance of taking care of the ones we love on the road. You can drive with confidence and ease because Granger Nissan has all new vehicles with a lifetime powertrain warranty. Granger Nissan is not just in the car business, they're in the people business. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson on 3510 Clemson Boulevard.
All the sports from last night and everything you need going into today. It's the Mickey Plyler Show on 105.5 The Roar.
I will do anything it takes to win.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
I love when you hit the horns, 20. For the rest of the show, you're 20. We need cameras in the studio so I can show off my moves.
So we could show off St. Paul and Broken Bones bringing us some breakfast this morning.
Man, that was so good, huh?
Very appreciative of that. Thank you so much.
You enjoy yours?
Absolutely.
Man, so good. So good. Also see my dance moves over here. Hey, the Patterson Tax Service, PATTAX.com, PATTAX.com, 859-8289, 859-8289. The more I learn about it, the more I see it. I read an article the other day about preparing for tax season and what to do and how to get ready for it. And at lunch, we talk, I have lunch with another accountant, and we always talk about the business decisions and who qualifies for what. And there's a bunch of things out there. I'm just telling you, I am glad that I have the Patterson's Tax Service on my side. PATTAX.com, PATTAX.com, 859-8289, 859-8289. Get in touch with the Patterson Tax Service. How you doing over there?
I'm doing great.
You learn anything from Paul Strela?
Did I learn anything from Paul Strela? Mm-hmm. You know, I learned a little bit of this. I learned a little bit of that. Yeah. I learned from Paul Strela throughout the week, reading his articles and all that he has to offer on TigerIllustrated.com.
He's good.
He's great.
He's very good. All right, let me reset in the final segment. In case you've not heard.
Second to last segment.
Oh, yeah. It's the last half hour, I should say. In case you haven't heard, Marcus Reed gets good news. Sprained knee, sprained MCL, not a torn ACL.
That is good news.
A lot of difference in sprain and tear and a lot of difference in ACL and MCL.
It's going to take a second to heal up a little bit, right?
That's okay. At least it's not done for the year. Boy, I would have felt terrible for that kid coming back and then not finishing out. That would have been bad. Second thing, Dabo Swinney finals for the Bobby Dodd Award, National Coach of the Year. Of course, we got the Eddie Robinson, Bobby Dodd, and Bear Bryant, and we got everybody has an award, but we got that one. Paul Goldschmidt traded from Arizona to the Cardinals. Nice pickup for the Cardinals in their middle of the lineup. We found out that Ken Wisenhunt's not been hired at Georgia Tech and that Jeff Collins of Temple is a candidate. We also found out yesterday that
he's not been hired or he's not going to be hired.
He's not been hired yet.
Okay.
I think it's supposedly he had 48 hours to let them know.
This is probably the second half of that 48 hours, isn't it?
I would say so. But what do I know? I thought this was the last segment. Sean McDonough, Todd Blackledge, Holly Rowe, Tom Rinaldi will be the broadcast team for the Cotton Bowl. Holly Rowe on the Clemson sideline, Rinaldi on the Notre Dame sideline.
Good. I need to cry during the game.
You think?
Rinaldi will do something special during the game and make everybody cry.
Some Catholic kid somewhere that says, win one for the Gipper, and then I got to cry.
Win one for the Gipper.
Get all out there on that deal. I wanted to mention, the only other thing I wanted to do on the show today, I had several other topics we'll get to. The only other thing I wanted to get on the show today was USA Today and their coaching salaries, assistant coaching salaries. Do you know who the highest paid assistant coach in the country is?
Is it at Clemson?
But no.
Then no, I don't.
Dave Aranda, LSU.
Would never have guessed. What does he get paid?
$2.5 million. And the way his contract works out, $6.4 million. The Venables is the highest for as far as overall contract for number of years and everything. His is 6.8. So Venables makes 2.2, and then he gets maximum bonuses if he wins national championship, all this kind of stuff, $195,000. So Venables is the second best. And those are defensive coordinators. Wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Boy, Kevin Steele at Auburn, over $2 million.
We need to get in a contract where we have $200,000 bonuses for stuff.
Yeah. I tell you what to do. Give me a $200,000 bonus. You can keep my salary.
Is that right?
Yeah. Love that. Mike Elko at A&M is fourth. His compensation, 1.8. Texas defense coordinator. All these defense coordinators. Todd Orlando, 1.7. All this offense, top six guys. Defense. Jim Leavitt, Oregon, 1.7. Top seven guys, Greg Schiano, Ohio State, 1.5. Top eight guys, Mel Tucker, who's now no longer at Georgia. He's the head coach of Colorado.
Colorado,
1.5. Pep Hamilton is the first offensive guy, 1.4, offensive coordinator at Michigan. Todd Grantham down at Florida, 1.4, to be a jerk. Don Brown, defensive coordinator at Michigan, 1.3. Tyson Helton, who just left to take over Western Kentucky, he was at Tennessee at 1.2. Mike Loxley was making 1.2 at Alabama. Ryan Day was 1.2 at Ohio State. Those guys are moving up as head coaches now. Tavares Robinson at South Carolina, 1.2. is his deal at the University of South Carolina. He's number 15th overall. Man, there's some overpaid guys in this thing. Wesley McGriff at Ole Miss, defensive coordinator, makes 1.1 and can't stop anybody. I want my money back if that was the case. Brian Van Gorder at Louisville couldn't stop anybody, $950,000 a year. Now, let me say this. Jeff Scott and Tony Elliott, by the way, Scott 876,000. Scott, Elliott Scott is at 851. Those guys are 33rd in the country there now. Let me say this, though. A lot of people would look at that, shake their heads, and say, oh, man, too much money, blah, blah, blah. And the bottom line is that you spend so much time working your way up. Graduate assistants make nothing. Your very first head coach, a very first assistant job, you make nothing. You go all over the place and you're a quality control assistant. You move your family all over the place. The first money is not great. If you can stay in it, if you can move up, yeah, there's a lot of money to be made. But the other thing is your window to make it is so short that, man, if you get fired at one place, you have to take the motions down. But I'm telling you, football coaches are making tons of money right now. So in summary, there's 21 coaches out there right now that make 21 assistant coaches that make $1 million a year.
How many of them are overpaid in your mind?
Overpaid of the 21?
Of the 21.
Well, let's go down that list right now. Florida State's defense coordinator, Harlan Barnett, I think he's overpaid. Wesley McGriff's overpaid. Tosh Lupia at South Carolina, an Alabama assistant. He's doing a good job, obviously. Washington's Jimmy Lake, I don't know enough about him. Boy, Chip Lindsey at Auburn made 1.1 as offensive coordinator. They weren't very good. He was overpaid. Ohio State's Alex Grinch, 1.1. I don't know enough about him. Is T. Rob worth 1.2 at South Carolina, defense coordinator?
No.
They gave up a ton of points this year. Ryan Day was not overpaid. Mike Loxley, boy, did a great job at Alabama. I'm not a Mike Loxley fan by any stretch. Tyson Helton, offense coordinator at Tennessee at 1.2. I'd say he would be overpaid. Grantham at Florida, a little bit overpaid in there. A lot of those guys weren't, though. I mean, a lot of those guys did a good job for their teams. But maybe Kevin Steele at Auburn at $2 million a year. He can do a little bit better than that. But anyway. Bud Foster at $975,000. He's overpaid. I don't know. A lot of these guys are. But you know what? A lot of these guys are doing a great job, too, and they're working their way up, too. And it's all on what the market dictates. So they do a fantastic job with all that.
I'd like to be overpaid at $975,000.
Yeah, I'd love for you to criticize me how much you get paid there.
Yeah.
Philosophically, and you and I have talked about this many times, I don't think we should know what assistant football coaches make. I don't think we should know what head football coaches make. I don't think we should know what anybody makes. I think that what you make is ought to be between you and your employer, and I don't think that a first baseman in Major League Baseball, a quarterback in football, a center in basketball, or a goalie in hockey, I don't think we should know what they make. I don't think it's any of our business what they make. You disagree with it?
Yeah, we've talked about this ad nauseum.
Ad nauseum? We're talking one segment, maybe. More than that?
We did like an hour on this
really?
Once. Oh, yeah.
Really? Where do you draw the line?
Where do I draw the line?
Like, should people know what you and I make?
Should people know what you and I make?
Yeah.
No, I don't think they should.
Should they know what your lawyer or your doctor makes? I heard a good story the other day. You want this one?
Yes, please.
Plumber goes by a client, and the client's a doctor. And again, the plumber gets down to everything. And plumber's expensive nowadays, except for Roto-Rooter. Anyway. Gets done, hands him the bill, and the doctor said, oh, my gosh. I said, I can't believe this. He goes, I don't make this kind of money as a doctor. And the plumber said, yeah, I didn't make that kind of money when I was a doctor either. Thank you very much. So, but, like, do you care what your doctor makes?
Do I care what he makes? Yeah. No.
The reason we should know what an athlete or a coach makes is?
The reason we should know?
Yeah.
It's always been public knowledge. It's part of the program. You're paying.
But you're progressive thinking, so.
To the season tickets.
So you're paying a salary?
You're paying part of it.
Okay, but your doctor, you're paying part of his salary, right?
Aren't you, though?
Yeah, but aren't you paying part of your doctor's salary?
Sure.
You don't care what he makes?
No.
You don't. Aren't you paying for the...
Because that doctor, if he's going to give me good care, that's great. He can make as much money as he wants to.
Same thing with Eli Manning. If he gives you good play as a quarterback.
Football's a little bit different. Sports are different for me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They should be.
I don't care what they make. I don't pull any harder. When Tommy West is making $400,000 a year as a head coach here, I didn't want to win any more now than I did then. And when tickets were $5 a piece compared to $110 for the South Carolina game, I don't want to win any more now than I did then. We feel differently about that. So where's the line then? So should we know what the president makes? Senators, congressmen, should we know what they make?
Yeah.
Should we know what the college professors make?
I don't understand your hesitation to have people know what you make.
Well, tell everybody what you make.
I don't understand yours, what I'm asking you.
I don't think it's any of my business what anybody make. I want everybody to make the most they can make. Mm-hmm. And I want them to prosper and pay a lot of taxes and contribute to my roads. And I want them to flourish and be affluent. And I want them to make everything in the world.
They pay a lot of taxes.
I want them to make so much money that they can pay for things.
Hold hands, sing kumbaya. Everyone makes the same amount of money.
We all pay taxes, and it's all taken care of.
You're a socialist.
Not at all.
Yeah, feel the burn, am I right?
No. I saw Feel the Burn bumper sticker yesterday. I want to stop the guy like, really? What do you like about it? Tell me what you like. Anyway, so with your professor at Clemson, he's a state employee.
It's public knowledge. You can go look it up.
It is public knowledge. Mm-hmm. I've never gone and looked at what a professor makes.
I never cared, to be honest with you.
Right. It's just a matter of caring? Is that what it is?
Yeah, for me it is.
So that the line is that if you cared, then we should know.
Sure.
We have a right to know?
Do we have a right to know?
Yeah.
For publicly taxed stuff, yeah, I think we have a right to know.
What do you mean publicly taxed?
Like we're paying taxes, our general state taxes, federal taxes, all that kind of stuff. Any elected officials, we have a right to know that. Officials that, you know, even the Clemson students, not students, teachers or professors, we're taxed and our taxes pay those salaries to an extent. I think that's fine. Our tuition pays those salaries to an extent. I think that's something that you have a right to.
With that said,
that's so where your money's going.
So your school teacher, you care about what they make?
No. I don't care, but I know. It's public knowledge. Like, I know we could find out what your wife makes.
I don't think we can because she didn't make over a certain threshold.
We could find out what your wife makes.
Really?
Yep.
I don't know what my wife makes. Texture wants to know our coaches, state employees, they are, but they're not. When you say that Brent Venables makes When he makes 2.2, that money's not coming from the state of South Carolina. That's coming from football revenue.
You see the state of South Carolina's revenue from it, their list, it's like $250,000 right. to Brent Venables.
Right.
And everything else is add-on
it's
stuff.
It's football money.
Yeah.
Through all that kind of stuff. Again, that's just, I thought it was pretty interesting to talk about some of that. Do you care?
You don't know what your wife makes.
I don't know what my wife makes. Do you know what your fiance makes?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
I know about what my wife makes, but I don't know.
We both make aggressively mediocre money.
Do you know what Walt makes?
Yep.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
You know what Ben makes? What Deborah makes?
No.
I don't know what anybody makes. Maybe I like to stick my head in the sand and say, oh, you know what? Do a good job. I wouldn't listen to a show or watch a TV show based on what somebody makes, what actor makes, or what they. I don't care about it. I want everybody to do really, really well. So, a little bit different through all that. Anyway, final break of the show. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. Tell you about tomorrow's show. Hey, guess what, buddy? I got some good news for you.
What's that?
I'm going to see you tomorrow.
You're going to be here, not Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Sounded crazy. Normally Chick-fil-A on Fridays.
How about it?
Yeah. Tiger Paramedic says, I know what I make, and it's depressing. Good stuff. Engineer Sleep, engineersleep.com. I don't have any idea what Jay and Davis orders make.
Probably rolling in it.
No, I know what they make. They make mattresses. That's what they make. And they do a doggone good job with those mattresses. And my mattress is amazing. And so I want you to get in touch with them. It is a great deal for our friends over at Engineer Sleep. Get by this Christmas. A lot of families do that. Do you buy Kristen Christmas gifts?
Do I buy my fiance Christmas gifts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually do that.
Sometimes my wife and I make this thing about, oh, you know what? I'm not going to, we're not going to buy each other Christmas gifts this year. We're going to save money for the baby or something like that, you know?
So this year you're doing that?
Well, in the past, we would always buy her something. She always buys me something. But the thing is, oh, this year we're really not doing it. But hey, how about this little deal?
You better show up with something on Christmas morning.
Oh, I know. I already have the Urban Nirvana stuff. But here's what we're going to do. This year, more than ever, it's Engineer Sleep. It'd be a great gift to give your significant other. That way you both get something, and it's going to be great. My buddy, professor, just texted me. He's listening right now. Said they love their mattress. So that's great.
That's fantastic.
Another satisfied customer. Engineer Sleep, engineersleep.com. We'll take a break. Come back. Final segment of the show right after this.
You've heard that the key to gaining referrals and growing your business is networking. Clemson's forming chapter of BNI, Business Networking International, can help you gain referrals from a global network of positive, like-minded business professionals. Find out more at our open house this Wednesday, 8:30 a.m. at the Alumni Cafe in Clemson. Enjoy free breakfast and an opportunity to learn more, no strings attached. This Wednesday, 8:30 a.m. at the Alumni Cafe in Clemson, 1310 Tiger Boulevard, because your network is your greatest asset.
Mellow Mushroom Clemson is much more than awesome pizza. If you need catering for the holidays, our catering menu is full of goodies like fresh salads, sandwich platters, and our amazing pasta salad. It's ideal for holiday parties, graduation parties, and employee appreciation parties. And in the spirit of giving, get a Mellow Mushroom Clemson Holiday gift card, and you'll receive a $5 bounce back for more savings. Happy holidays from Mellow Mushroom, 1007 Tiger Boulevard, Clemson.
Quark here for Hendrick Honda Easley. I've owned my Accord for several years, and I can tell you a Honda's the way to go. Hendrick Honda Easley's been in business 25 years, offering their customers a fair, fast, easy, and transparent experience. After you've purchased your new or pre-owned vehicle from Hendrick Honda Easley, believe me, their staff from service to finance is behind you 100%. See Hendrick Honda Easley online at HendrickHondaSC.com or in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
Treat your lady to a day of complete relaxation and rejuvenation at Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's premier spa. Their therapists are ready to restore her mind, body, and spirit in a relaxing and private environment. She'll love the rejuvenating facial, skin, and nail therapy, and many other services. A gift certificate from Lilia Day Spa is ideal for any occasion and shows her you care. This holiday, treat her to Lilia Day Spa, 116 Benson Street, downtown Anderson. Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's premier spa.
Hey guys, have you always been interested in sports betting but never followed through? Now is the perfect time to try, and MyBookie is the perfect place. You could be a bet cashing machine, but we'll never know unless you get off the sideline and get in the game. We've still got months of NFL games. Bowl season is right around the corner in college football, and the NBA and college basketball are here too. You don't even have to get off your couch to win big. MyBookie is the right choice. You'll love their easy-to-use website, helpful customer service, and fast payouts when you win. Want to bet now on who's going to win the Super Bowl? Go for it. Want to risk a little to win a lot? Try a three-team parlay. Visit MyBookie now to take advantage of the 50% deposit bonus. That's right, deposit using promo code RADIO, and we'll give you free cash. Just use promo code RADIO when you register. Check out MyBookie online today. No deposit necessary. Terms and conditions apply. For entertainment purposes only, void where prohibited.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-506-2734. 800-506-2734. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-506-2734.
All the sports from last night and everything you need going into today. It's the Mickey Plyler Show on 105.5 The Roar.
Join me in being present at the birth of a great adventure.
Now back to Mickey and Zach.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space.
Final segment of a Thursday show, 654 Roar on our Northern Communication phone lines. Fortune Cookie held through to the break. Good morning, Fortune Cookie. Thanks for hanging on. How you doing?
Doing great, Mickey. How are you?
Man, we're blessed. Everything's great.
Well, that's great. I wanted to propose a playoff format.
All right. Let me get my pen and paper out here, all right? I'm ready.
Okay. And some of this idea came from Double Alt Tiger a few months ago, but I would start with the five conference champions from last weekend, which would be Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Washington. And then I would take six at-large teams, and based on the final college football playoff rankings by the committee last week, this weekend Notre Dame would play LSU, Georgia would play Florida, Michigan would play UCF. Those three winners would join the five conference champions, and they would make up the eight playoff teams. And then the committee would reseed them one through eight, however they felt like they should do it.
So an 11-team playoff.
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
They could take, you know, in this case, Georgia's the only team, I guess, that's getting a mulligan. But you take your five conference. This gives you your five conference champions. And then it gives you a way to fill out an 8-team field by having three games this weekend.
Here's my only issue with it. If in that case, here's my only issue with it. Let's take Georgia as an example. Georgia just played their 13th game of the season. And then you're going to have them play Florida in their 14th game. If they win that, they go to the final eight, which they have to play Ohio State. That's the 15th game. The final four will be their 16th game. And then you're going to ask Georgia to play a national championship game. That'll be their 17th game.
That is a downside of it. It is. I mean, it's not a perfect system.
Right. My thing is this. Do you really think that Florida can and should get a chance at the national championship? Because I don't. I think Florida's hot garbage. And I don't think Michigan.
I probably would not have. I just took the six that they listed. You know, took their top teams and used that. I personally would probably have put Washington State in there, but but anyway, that was no. I don't think Florida is deserving to be in the playoff. But if you had eight teams and you look at what's out there, they would fall in.
Here's one of the things I have a problem with Fortune Cookie is not with yours, with everybody's model now. They're saying Kurt Herbstreit tried to sit there and tell me this past week that the conference championship games don't matter. And I hated that. I hated hearing that because I think that they should matter. And in the scenario that I like is that if you take the five Power Five conference champions and you give me one more at six, and that either being Notre Dame or being the highest of the non-Power Five or being an at-large team, whatever you pick, whoever you want the six to be, the first two teams get a bye. Three plays six and four plays five, and then those winners play one and two. And you play the first round on campus somewhere. That way, your conference championships are basically, you know, your quarterfinal games, and then you can have the play-in games.
Yeah.
The first two, you know, Clemson and Alabama are clearly better than everybody this year, and that way they get a bye at the playoffs, and you still get a bunch of teams that still have a chance. And I think that one of the biggest issues we've got now, Fortune Cookie, is that we have seen in this four-team playoff deal, and I like four better than two, but we've seen that it's Alabama, Clemson, and Oklahoma have 60% of the slots over 5 years. And at some point in time, if you're in the Pac-12 and if you're in the Big Ten and you're not having representation in it, why are you going to be all that interested in it? And I think we need more representation. That's why if Washington was in it and if Ohio State was in it right now, more of the country would care about it. And I think all Power Five conferences and conference championships meaning something, I think it ought to mean something. That would add to it makes the regular season more important because you got to be able to still get in. It makes the conference championships more important. And it gives everybody a chance to when your division becomes more important. Your division basically is like a round of 16, and then your conference championships a round of eight, and then you get down to those final six. So I like that model an awful lot. So, but I don't like the idea that our conference championships don't matter. Our championship games don't matter.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I was like you. I have great respect for Herbstreit, but I thought his argument didn't make any sense.
And you know what, though, too, and I'll leave you with this, and I appreciate the phone call, Fortune Cookie. Thanks an awful lot. I don't think Kurt Herbstreit believes what he's saying right now. I think Kurt Herbstreit is trying to troll people and trying to create a buzz. Do you think that he really believes that Georgia should be in?
No. They needed something to talk about.
Yeah, Kurt Herbstreit seemingly is a very level-headed guy. And what Kirk Herbstreit's trying to tell me is that we're going to let two in from the SEC, including a 10-2 team that didn't win their conference. And what we're going to do, because Notre Dame's not in a conference, and what we're going to do is we're going to eliminate, of the Power Five conferences, we're going to eliminate three conference champions. You think that goes over with the commissioners? You think the Big Ten, the Pac-10, and the Big 12 are all for that model? Let's just leave 60% of the conferences, let's leave out of this thing because we want a 10-2 non-conference champion in?
Reese Davis spoke about that and during the selection show where he's like, hey, you know, I we've talked to conference commissioners and school presidents, and they do not want an expansion of the playoff right now. They don't feel like it's necessary. But, and he mentioned this on air, if Georgia gets in at 10-2 non-conference champion, there will be talk and pickup of expansion talks in a hurry because, as you said, 60% of the teams or the programs not getting in. That's ridiculous. It's absurd.
Yeah. I don't see that being very viable at all.
It was never real.
Well, no. And that's why if Herbstreit knew it wasn't real, why did he try to play the malcontent through the whole thing? Why did he – I don't know. I didn't understand that at all. It's one of the few times I've ever just totally looked at a guy like, what?
I like Herbstreit. I think he's great.
Yeah. But could they – and someone's saying right now that Herbstreit was scripted to be the guy. Well, couldn't
I also don't
Desmond be the guy?
That. Huh? I don't know if I believe that, to be honest.
I don't know if ESPN did that because if you want to go be outlandish, shouldn't Desmond be saying that? Or shouldn't Joey Galloway be saying that?
Not
or
the guy that's part of your A team for calling games every week.
Yeah, and not the guy that seemingly is level-headed.
Yeah.
And how emotional he was of saying – and how about this? He was going to move him up. They lost, and he wanted to move them up. Like, what? Like, what? And then that led to the whole narrative of, so now it's how we look when we lose? Just don't really quite understand all of that. We give someone sports every single day.
Every day.
Every day. Well, every weekday. Weekends we take off.
You can run wild on weekends.
Brad used acts of forgiveness. Well, we don't forgive anybody on the weekends. I'm hard line. We don't forgive anybody. On the show, we can forgive someone sports every day. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Get in touch with Brad. He'd love to help you out. Brady's at allstate.com, Brady's insurance.com. 654, I mean, no, what? That was the wrong number.
Yeah, it was.
2923001. I'm sorry. 2923001. Forgive me for that one. Call Brad today. 2923001. I only know a few phone numbers.
Just
Brad,
go.
Brad wants to talk to you and just see if make that phone call, Dave. Make one phone call, 2923001, and see if he can maybe get you better rates, maybe get you better coverage, maybe get you both. And if you can't, he'll tell you. So call him. Today I forgive DeAndre Francois.
Frenchie?
Yeah. Rumors are that he might be out and transferring out of Florida State. And I think that you make a very good point when you say this, Mr. 24, Jack Lake Tonto.
What did I say? I said a lot of things today.
That who can blame him? Hadn't blocked for him in 2 years.
They haven't.
Got the guy's knee all torn up.
They have not.
So who could blame the guy if he actually wanted to leave and actually go play behind a decent offensive line?
Got 2 years left?
Yeah. 2 years left. Yeah. Did he register? No, 2 years left.
I have no idea. That's why I'm asking you.
I don't know. I'll look it up. Anyway, we finish things up, buddy, as we always do with a two-minute drill.
Try to get 4 minutes of content into 2 minutes. It's time for the two-minute drill on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. Now, here's Mickey.
Mickey, while we hopefully have four quarters of football left with him, Hunter Renfroe has accepted an invite to the 70th Reese's Senior Bowl on January the 26th, 1:30. NFL Network will go down to Mobile, Alabama, work out for the week, practice, and hopefully have a great game down there at the Senior Bowl. But Hunter Renfroe is going to the Senior Bowl this year. Congratulations to him.
It's going to be interesting. Have you seen all the stuff about Alabama board about Hunter Renfroe, about how long he's been at Clemson?
Hunter Renfroe was the fastest player clocked on the field this weekend.
Really?
Tied with Isaiah Simmons at 21.3 miles an hour.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How about that? How fast was Trevor Lawrence running down the field?
He was at 20.4, right behind ETN's 21 miles an hour on that run.
That's crazy. 20.4 miles an hour. I love it, man. Absolutely.